Peace to all of you in the passage today. We will see the most impactful scene in the whole human history. That is our Lord being crucified on the cross. Brothers and sisters, the whole human history. There are many great things that happen. For the Chinese, when the People's Liberation Army liberated the nation, or when Abraham Lincoln liberated the slaves, or when the World War has ended, or men landed on the moon, the whole world see this as impactful events, milestones. But none of this is more. There's not more significant sin than Jesus being nailed on the cross, because it concerns the whole humanity. For sinners to be saved from all their curses, and so that from eternal death to eternal life. You can imagine that in this world, which blessing will not be expanded or depleted? What kind of liberation will not is eternal? There's none. So if you think carefully, actually, so some of the things that we care about, if you can see your physical body, can feel it and touch it, all these are temporal. Nothing is eternal. Everything is temporal. You lose your wealth. You lose your health. Your relationship will end. If you can see, you can touch, this can be. So when the Son of God is nailed on the cross, this eternal outcome. This is eternal, unchanging truth has come out upon all of us. In that scene, what is happening in the spiritual realm is in that momentary moment, it enters into man's time and space, so when we with eyes we can see this. So our soul is connected to eternity. Can you understand this? Many people don't understand. When Jesus is nailed on the cross, in the whole world, the center of the world is Israel. And the center of Israel is the cross. So he sacrificed himself for his people. So what happened? You must know what actually happened on the cross. This is something that we need to know today. So after we sing the hymns in Good Friday and Easter, We need to know what happened. If we watch a movie, if we watch the life story of Jesus, we see Jesus being nailed on the cross. For most of us, our feelings is it's very painful to watch someone. Our Lord is died a tragic death. It's just this person endured this torture and then he died. But in the unseen world, God through His Son and what happened what happened in the spiritual realm between God and us. It is not seen by the eyes or felt by your flesh. So we must from the So the Bible through Paul, through Peter, they use very important words. Actually, well, in that moment on the cross, what happened in the spiritual realm? I'll use four aspects to explain this. So the first thing is redemption. Redemption happened. The moment the sinners are redeemed, the wages of sin is paid. So Hebrews 9:12, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, therefore obtaining eternal redemption. In the market, if you are a slave, so there must be a price to pay. So you want to redeem a slave from a master, you need to pay a price. There must be a price. This, the principle is having a price. So when we are dead in sin, so when we are slave to sin, so there's a wage we need to pay so that we can be. So when you redeem this person, you cannot use money or gold or silver. Of course, if you have a physical body, you can buy with your money. So but for soul, it has to be paid by a sinless person. This is a spiritual principle. In the 6 hours, every of the pain he endured, the torture he endured, whether it's externally or internally, he is paying for the sins. So all the sins of his people. Only there, so that he can buy us, redeem us from sin. So that's the thing. So that's redemption. So the second one is propitiation. You must, when Romans 3:25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. True, if I lose my temper, my wrath come upon. So if a president has showed his wrath, it means nothing. That's why when there's an internal punishment. So who can, what can we offer to God so that his wrath is reduced? So even the pagans, when they know that God is angry, the volcano will erupt. So we need to appease the God. So we need to sacrifice the. So some religion also sacrifice their children. So even the pagan, they have this concept. Our God is different from the pagan, but our God also has wrath. And his wrath is even more powerful than rest. So where his wrath comes from, our sin. Although we are built, created in his image, but we violated his holiness. A holy God, when his wrath will come upon us, when there's wrath, who can stand before him, if before his wrath? So what do we need to give to him so that he can appease him? It's a sacrifice of atonement. Yeah. So who became this sacrifice of atonement? That is Jesus Christ. In that moment, so some people ask, did Jesus go to hell? He descended to the dead. Where is hell? In the 6 hours, the judgment of hell, the wrath of God, the separation of God happened in that 6 hours. So, this is a... We are just trying to use our words and imagination to describe this. How heavy is our sin? How heavy is the judgment on the Son of God? Every drop of his blood, he became a propitiation. The third concept, that is related to the concept of the cross, is a substitution. So when we hear about the substitution, 1 Peter 3:18 also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to... So, this substitution concept, on the moment he's nailed on the cross, his people, all the sin, all the things, so he, for that moment, Jesus became the worst sinner in the human history. He became a symbol of it. He became the snake. Snake is the one that is being cursed. We cannot imagine the Son of God, the most perfect, sinless person, he endured the punishment meant for the worst sinners, all the judgment, because he substituted us. So when our sin is laid on him, when he came on earth, from his born till the time he is nailed on the cross, the 6 hours, he has not committed a single sin. He has not cursed a person. And he's totally obedient to God. His obedience, his righteousness is given to us. All my sin all our sins are laid on him, and all his righteousness is given to us. So that in his name, when we pray in his name, we can be forgiven. We cannot understand all these things because in our fallen nature, the religion that nobody will tell you your sin, other religion, you will be responsible for your sin. So, There's no such thing in other religions to have your sin being substituted. So this is the salvation that God has designed. The enemy can never imagine that this so that we can be called righteous by faith. Not because we have done anything righteous, but because this substitution has enabled us, Jesus' righteousness is credited to us. God, in the spiritual law, declared that we are sinless. If you go to the court, if he sentenced you to be not guilty, God is the ultimate judge. He declared you to be righteous. Where is the sin? Sin has gone to Jesus. For 6 hours, can pay off all his people the eternal punishment of his people. Do you know? Can you imagine the glory of God that he can pay off? This is the thing only Son of God can do. All the sages, all the great person, when they die for their own sins. If you believe that hero in that sage, they cannot die for you. You must believe in the one who can take your sin and take over your judgment. You must understand this. When we talk about the cross, I just want to first, redemption, propitiation, substitution, and so that in the end we can be reconciliation. So we need to know this. 2 Corinthians 5:19. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. So we are reconciled with God. We have violated the Holy God. So, why do men hate human religion? Because when you do good in a religious setting, these good things, it is something that God is pleased with. It is inherently good. But if you want these good deeds to help, the good deeds itself is good. But you wanted to use the good deeds to earn your salvation. That is something that is evil in the sight of God. Only in that, on the cross, the thing that happened in the cross, we see a young Jewish man died tragically on the cross. We emotionally will be stirred. It's not just feeling sorry for the Lord who died for us. In the spiritual realm, this becomes a conclusion, and once it's paid, it has eternal impact. So when we pray in his name, when we do good in his name, and then all this will be pleasing to God. You cannot bring it before God. Everything, of course, people remember you, You are just yes, good. You are a good leader. You are a good father. You are a good mother. After that, so you still have to face the eternal judgment from your sin. Sometimes you cannot feel this. Do you realize that a lot of things, all these temporal things on earth, people praise you, all the great milestones, the vaccine is invented, we just celebrate and actually all these are shadows. How do you cherish the cross in your heart? This is our lifelong prayer. Why do we still have worship even though there's a pandemic? Because the word of life, the mystery of the cross is being revealed to us every week. So I give thanks that I can take off my mask today. So the image of God can be revealed. So let's read John 19:17, the most important, significant moment in human history. Chapter 19, verse 17. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. Which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Jesus carried his own cross. Every time we read the New Testament, we must think back up to the Old Testament. Which part in the Old Testament talks about Jesus carrying his own cross? Abraham put the firewood on Isaac. Where's the sacrifice? So the sinner, the most, of course, Isaac is sin, but it's the heart of a father seeing the son, but he put the cross on his own back, and you must see the hands of God. It's not just what the Roman soldiers were doing. It is all the Father has allowed. Verse 18, here they crucified him. Here they crucified him and with. So the Persians invented this. So it became the Romans adapted this to become a torture. It's for the most serious offense. Only the most serious offender, Romans, no matter what they do, this is in their law. So Paul has a Roman citizenship. He was sentenced to death, but he cannot be put on the cross. It cannot be done on the Roman citizen. It's still for the worst offender, criminal. Many saints and many disciples were crucified is one of the most cruel punishment. It's the very agonizing pain. So many people will go crazy in that pain, in that fear. They will start to curse people. This their perverted mind to design it to be that way. Roman soldiers, 13 to 18 centimeter long nails. Why is it so long? Because your legs, your feet, you put your feet on top of each other and then you have to nail it through. So some people say it's nailed on the palm or it's on the wrist. It's on the... so that you can carry the weight of your body. Because of the weight, when you are... Your flesh and bone will be split open. There's a small stool so that you can't really sit, but can support yourself. The whole person cannot breathe in that. Some people die of bleeding, or some because their heart cannot endure. Their heart failed because the blood pressure becomes very high. Some people die of dehydration. Many people die because when the weight on the longer you are on the cross, the person, of course, naturally we will want to have a survival instinct will cause us to live when we want to breathe. So you need strength to breathe. You need to struggle to breathe. The more you want to live, the more painful it is, because you need your... In Galatians, we are nailed with him on the cross. So we have crucified our... There's a spiritual meaning in... So, what is Paul's meaning when he wrote this? When you are nailed on the cross, you don't die immediately. It's a torture. The more you want to live, the more painful it is. The more you want to live, you want to breathe, then your wounds, your wrist, or your palm, or your feet, the pressure will be stronger, and it becomes more painful. Then you will lose even more blood. When Paul wrote this, so people who are born again in Christ, our flesh, our old self, the more it wants to leave, the old self, the more painful it is. A person who has the Holy Spirit in them, the more he wants to indulge in his flesh, the more he wants to glorify his flesh. When there's the pride, when there's greed, the people of the world will enjoy it when they just indulge. But for a born again person, the more of these things wants to live in you, the more painful you feel. The Holy Spirit will rebuke him, and you'll feel all the more guilty. So for Christians, this sanctification process, how do you know you are sanctified? So when you are faced with your old self, the more you see your old self, the more you... Every time you're tempted, you just want to quiet down and pray, because you know... Because that flesh... You know the flesh is being nailed on the cross. Some of you may say, I don't experience such pain. I only experience the pain of not getting what I want on earth. First, maybe you're not crucified with Christ on the cross. You're just a Sunday Christian, nominal Christian. Maybe you're not born again. Who, if you have no Holy Spirit, who is going to rebuke you? The second reason is, be you are born again. But because you are very weak, what kind of weakness? You are not filled with the truth. You want to believe in Christ to have prosperity, health. So when you hear this longer, and then there's some inconvenience, there are certain things you don't get. So when you just grieve because of all this, Jesus is your spirit. We need to grieve for our old self. So if you're not taught properly about the gospel, and you have this prosperity-seeking idea to receive this temporal, it's not for you to love the Lord more. So you feel very lousy because you didn't get something on earth. For us who are Christians, be our flesh and the desires we have nailed them on the cross, but it doesn't die immediately, but it's being tortured. And when you are more sanctified, when you wrestle with God, you realize that when the flesh wants to live, the more painful it is. This is something you need to confirm yourself. Verse 18, let's read. Here they crucified him with him two others, one on each other, and Jesus in the middle. We know that he is in the middle of the two robbers. John, he used this to... There's a significance in this. We know that Jesus is at the center. He's in the center of the two, in the physical world. Jesus, he is at the center of humanity. Man, woman, rich or poor, Gentiles or Jews, educated, not educated. Jesus is at the center. Whether you like him or you despise him, he's at the center. So remember, know this first. If you know this, you will not exalt any kings or any great person. He is also the center. He is, both these of robbers are sinners. He is at the center of them. When he's born in the manger, grew up in his hometown, so even the disciples left him. It's all their sins, the Pharisees who persecuted him and people who oppose him. So when Jesus is at the center of sinners, all their sins and their wrongdoings are all exposed. When the most holy person comes in the midst, when we know his cross, when we immediately see our sin. In the spiritual significance. So in our spirit, how do we confirm this? So what is his center? He's the center. One is safe, one is not safe. He's the center between those who are safe and those they are unsafe. The criteria for salvation is not your contribution to society, it's just Christ. When there's a Son of God, there's life. That's such as easy as that. Why do we preach the gospel of salvation? Why do people hate? Because Jesus is at the center. Why do people hate Christianity? So when you have seen, you know that he needs God. You know, we may see a very kind person, good teacher, but if he doesn't have Christ, you know there's something he or she needs. So Jesus is at the center between God and man. He is the one who reconciles us to God. So when you pray in, so all only the good, when you give a glass of water to a young one, you do it in the name of God. Because you have to do it in the name. And I'm doing it because of the cross, of the grace that has come upon me from the cross. You need to confirm this over and over again. He is the center of God's work in history. In the whole, we have great people, great heroes, great kings, all this. We need to respect people. These are all shadows. Jesus is at the center of all these things. Oh, it's not just having a pitiful sight, but behind all these things, he is having victory over the enemy, victory over sin, and saving his people. It's happening in the spiritual realm. When we know this, brothers, it's at the center. We don't come to him when we need him. It's not at the left or the right. So sometimes we are weak. The whole human history. Why are there so many followers of Christ? Why many so many churches? There are 37 million churches around the world. In the whole world. Such a shameful scene on the cross. So many hymns are written for him. We have thousands of songs. Thousand hymns. So the communists, they have their propaganda songs. It's about 400-500. So it's songs of worship and praise. So many plays are made of, because he's at the center. So in our very narrow mind, sometimes God has given us a lot of evidence that he is the one that came from God. The salvation comes from him. verse 19. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So, in their customs, so they'll carry a sign to his name, why he's crucified. It's a name, murderer. Yeah, so it's a name of the person, and then so his name is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. From here, we know if the so in the world, you have to dispose the current king so that you can become the new king. So it's different from the world. From here, we saw so leaders in the church, you must humble down and serve everybody. Many of the Jews read this sign, for the sign where Jesus was crucified was near the city. There's a place where so many people will pass by this place. And it was the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. Here, three languages so that both Jews and Gentiles can witness the King of Jews. Hebrews is for those who believe in the Jews who believe in the law. The Latin is for Romans. Is for those Romans who believe in power and status. Greeks believe in philosophy and wisdom. It's not about your. So God has designed this in that scene. God's hand is in this. Verse 21 to 22. So the chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. There must be God's will in this. In all this, he's working in all the details. And he's the one who is he's the king. It's a truth that cannot be obliterated. 20 verse 23. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. Let's not tarry, they said to one another, let's decide by the Lord who will get it. Actually, it has been prophesied in Psalms. It has been prophesied. They divided my garments among them and cast lots among my lording. So this is what the soldiers did. You must know this. 2 Corinthians. He is the richest, became the poorest. So that we who are poor can be rich. When we read this verse, we must be very careful. Many preachers who preach prosperity gospel will say this. So, what kind of, have you asked what is the wealth of Jesus? Where is his wealth? His wealth is eternal, his kingdom, abundant life. It's not that he has a lot of treasures. These are the additional things. So God, according to his grace, has given different things to different out of his grace, so that we can be good stewards about it. If we are rich because of the Lord, some people do. Some people do business, Christians. They only work 4 days, but they work Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So when we know that you're poor, because the wealth of Jesus has not come upon you, the wealth in your spirit is not there. When they believe Christ like this, they will just be drawn to the prosperity gospel teachers. But the money, but his money, his wealth will cause his sorrows to increase. Some people, they earn more. Why do they need more and more? Even when they have more, they have enough to eat. They have less, they have also enough to eat. So when we read this, on the cross, he has nothing left. Even his inner garment is given. So what's happened in your heart? Don't argue with people because of a bit of money. Bless them. Many people, they cannot look past money. Many people are stuck because of, we all need material things. We need money to see the doctor. We need money, we buy things, we need money. But you must look at the cross. When you become someone with nothing, actually I have a lot. I have what I needed. Verse 25, near the cross was Jesus, stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, he's a brother of Joseph, so he became the second leader of the Jerusalem church. So he's also called Mary. There's a Mary who's the mother. Jesus' mother Mary, wife of Clopas, is also Mary. This is Mary Magdalene. Three Marys. So that's why I name my daughter Mary. Why you want to name such an auntie name? It's a very blessed name. So this, they are in grief. So they are also the most glorious. They are most comforted as well. So women will cry more easily. But importantly, what are you crying for? Are you crying because of health, because of your children? Who cried for the Lord? Cried for the kingdom, that the women will be raised up. So some people say the Bible is chauvinistic, but when Jesus was resurrected, he revealed himself to the women. Where was Peter? Three Marys were crying for, weeping for him. Do you realize this? Of course, the mother would be the most. When Simeon, he prophesied, he said a prophecy. He is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. And a sword will pierce your soul also. The most holy person expose the human hearts. We cannot see. Because we are all the same. We are all robbers. We cannot see each other either. If we are all loving the world, we cannot. If a holiness, when this person come, everybody, all our greed, our ugliness, all our lust will all be exposed. Of course you are not as holy as Jesus. You can see the inner thoughts. You see the inner thoughts of people, and then you find the world opposes you. Verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." Dear woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. In the end, although he's in the greatest pain, he's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about other. He's thinking about his mother. Mary has other children, right? Why did ask John to take care of Mary? So it also tells us that our spiritual relationship, it is surpasses your blood relationship. If you are truly in Christ, you know this relationship with your brothers and sisters. This is sometimes can be above the blood relationship. If you don't have this in the church, if you have this life, where is your core relationship? This is also what Jesus is trying to say. It's, of course, there's a kinship with the mother, but it's also talking about the relationship between all the believers. And of course, John. And John is a very blessed disciple. Jesus didn't say, "Hey, take care of my..." Just tell the disciples that this is your mother. He will naturally bring Mary home. This is a good disciple. You don't have to give... You don't instruct him with all the details. Just give him a truth. Tell him what is the truth. What is your relationship? And naturally, the actions will come. This is... When you hear the sermon, some people, they go home. They know what to do. He goes to church and he has been transformed. And then he will come to believe Jesus. Some people go to church. So So, do you know what I'm trying to say? So a blessed person, once they have listened, hear the word of God, they understand, after they understand, they just go and do it. So may God bless all of us. So, and the cross, the power of the cross come upon us. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Such an important record of your crucifixion. And this is the most critical, significant moment in human history. Today we come before you. We humble before your cross. And may the light of the cross shine on us. Call us so that after we have heard the truth, we can follow you and obey you. And give us the wisdom of the cross so that we can enjoy this for our life. We give thanks and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.